Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22, 22 minutes of science interviews and great music from Austin, Texas. I'm Jorge Salazar. This week, a radio telescope in the Netherlands that can see the early universe of the first stars. News of what created the Little Ice Age and snowy owl sightings soar in the U.S. Here's a scientist soundbite.
Well, LOFAR is an incredibly versatile telescope, and it's being used by something like 200 scientists, students, postdocs. It really has led to a revitalization of radio astronomy in Europe.
That's astronomer Ger de Bron talking about a new radio telescope in the Netherlands called LOFAR. More with him later, but first, science news of the week with Emily Howard and Michael Brennan.
Man, oh man, so guess what? Snowy owl sightings have soared in the lower 48 states of the U.S. in 2012. Thousands of birders have reported seeing the beautiful Arctic white owls, known to many Harry Potter fans as the magical Hedwig. Denver Holt, head of the Owl Research Institute in Montana, has studied snow owls in their Arctic tundra ecosystem for two decades. He used the words unbelievable and said that this is the most significant wildlife event in decades. Jorge speaks with him later on in the program.
In early 2012, astronomers announced that the Kepler satellite has found two additional gas giant planets, which they've labeled Kepler-34b and Kepler-35b, orbiting in double star systems. The planets are approximately Saturn-sized. Only one other planet orbiting a double star, Kepler-16b, was previously observed. Its discovery was announced in September 2011. The Kepler collaboration reported the two most recent planets of double stars on January 11, 2012, in the journal Nature.
Scientists announced on January 30th that four massive tropical volcanoes, which appear to have erupted between the years 1275 and 1300 AD, might have set into motion a planet-wide cooling that ultimately caused the Little Ice Age. These scientists have evidence for the volcanic eruptions, which they say triggered a chain reaction, affecting sea ice and ocean currents in a way that lowered temperatures for centuries. Their results are in contrast to work of other scientists who contend that decreased radiation from the sun is what caused the Little Ice Age.
Hello, asteroid 433 Eros. And goodbye. This asteroid made its closest approach to Earth since 1975 on January 31st, 2012. At its closest, it was about 16 million miles away, about 70 times the moon's average distance.
NASA released the first video from GRAIL, its newest moon mission, on February 1st. GRAIL stands for Gravity Recover and Interior Laboratory. It consists of two robotic probes, once called GRAIL A and GRAIL B, but now officially named Ebb and Flow, that are orbiting the moon in tandem. They're using minute variations in the radio signals between the two craft to help scientists to study the moon's gravity. The overall goal of the mission is to learn more about the formation of our solar system. In the meantime, GRAIL has released its first video, showing the mysterious far side of the moon. You can view it at earthsky.org. Search for the words GRAIL video.
Researchers have identified a new species of prehistoric crocodile. The extinct creature is nicknamed Shield Croc due to a thick-skinned shield on its head. It's an ancestor of today's crocodiles. The discovery was published in the journal PLOS ONE in February 2012. Shield Croc is the newest discovery in crocodile species dating to the late Cretaceous period, approximately 95 million years ago. That's News of the Week. I'm Michael Brennan.
And I'm Emily Howard.
We've got science interviews coming up, but first, here's our Song of the Week. It's called While Sailing by the band The Lovely Sparrows.
I swear I'm no dancer,
for that flower to grow. And it's a tumble down the mountain if you ever want to know.
Sky, we interview the world's top scientists. A new radio telescope based in the Netherlands is set to begin its first low-frequency survey of the sky. It's called LOFAR, short for Low Frequency Array, and it will search for the first stars and black holes in the universe, as well as investigate a period of the early universe called the Epoch of Reionization, just a few hundred million years after the Big Bang. Ger de Bron is a senior scientist at the Institute for Radio Astronomy in the Netherlands, and he's a principal investigator for the LOFAR telescope. He spoke with Earth Sky in Austin, Texas, early 2012 at the 219th meeting of the American Astronomical Society. Dr. de Bron, welcome.
Thank you.
So tell us about this LOFAR telescope.
Okay, well, LOFAR is an array of very simple dipoles like you might have had on your roof in the past to receive television or radio. And we've deployed thousands, even tens of thousands of these dipoles in clusters together to pick up signals from the universe. And this concept has been so useful that we have grown to become an international telescope, LOFAR, with stations in Sweden, in France, in England, and in Germany, as well as most of the stations which are in the Netherlands. And so it's a telescope that works at low frequencies, and resolution of a telescope is limited by the wavelength, so you have to actually have a big telescope to make fine, sharp images. So that's what LOFAR can do. But LOFAR can do incredible number of things. It can look at multiple directions in the sky at the same time. So it can form beams in 3 up to 10, 20 different directions, just as much as your computers can handle. And so it's a very versatile telescope, and the scientific applications are unlimited.
Tell us about how you are involved with this LOFAR telescope, looking at the early days of the universe, just 400, 800 million years, a relatively short time after the Big Bang.
A short history of the universe is that after the Big Bang, after half a million years, the universe recombined. So it started out very hot, it recombined, and then most of the gas in the universe was neutral hydrogen. Called neutral hydrogen, got colder all the time when the universe expanded. But we know, we're here today, we see stars around us, galaxies around us, that there must have been a phase when stars were formed, when the universe actually reionized again, because we don't see all that neutral hydrogen anymore. It's all ionized. Now, we have some constraints on when that actually happened, so limits on when it happened. It must have happened before the redshift of 6. And redshift of 6 corresponds to a time of about 1 billion years after the Big Bang, 0.8 billion years, I think. And so we think that between 0.4 and 0.8 billion years after the Big Bang, the first stars and galaxies and quasars started to reionize the neutral hydrogen in the universe. And we want to know a lot of things. We have a lot of questions about how that process happened. How massive were these first stars? How many ionizing photons they produced? So we just want to know when it happened, how it happened, and who did it. Was it the stars? Was it the galaxies? Was it the black holes?
Tell us a little bit more about this epoch of reionization.
So we have two important phases after the Big Bang, which scientists study, which astronomers study. One is this, the CMB, the cosmic microwave background, which came from the recombination of the gas in the early universe. It happened only half a million years. But then for 400 million years, nothing happened. And then the second phase, reionization, which destroyed all these neutral hydrogen atoms anymore again. And so we have this first phase happening at half a million years, which was studied by WMAP, by all these telescopes. Planck right now taking images of this very early phase, this cosmic afterglow. We're studying the structure in the neutral hydrogen of certain phases in the universe. So where is the neutral hydrogen? Where is it gone? Where is it destroyed? And so, and we know that there's very few methods of actually ionizing hydrogen. It requires photons, ionizing photons. And so that is the link with the first stars and the first quasars. So indirectly, we're not going to see the first stars directly because they're too faint. I mean, only you might need James Webb Space Telescope, the one that will go up in 2018, to actually start seeing perhaps the first galaxies themselves, the light from those galaxies. What we're seeing is the fact that these galaxies were there and destroyed the neutral hydrogen around them. And we can do that very sensitively with our LOFAR telescope.
You've been listening to Dutch astronomer Ger de Bron. We're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. Find us as Earth Sky on Facebook, Earth Sky Science on Twitter, and at earthsky.org. Thousands of birders have reported sightings of snowy owls, according to the news agency Reuters. On the line to talk more about this unusual migration of snowy owls is wildlife biologist Denver Holt, head of the Owl Research Institute in Montana. Dr. Holt, welcome.
Okay, well, thanks for having me, and please just call me Denver.
Well, Denver, there's been a lot of talk right now about Arctic snowy owls. What's happening right now with these birds?
Well, as you may know, there's a big eruption migration going on this year, and it's from coast to coast in the United States and southern Canada.
And from what I understand, there are birders, there are thousands of people are reporting seeing these snowy owls.
Yeah, it's really great. I think, just in my opinion, it's the biggest wildlife event we've seen in many, many years in the United States, with so many people from all walks of life wanting to see the white owl, the Arctic owl, or the snowy owl.
Yeah, so I mean, these birds apparently they're going further south to places where they don't they aren't known to visit. What's happening?
The one thing we know right now is that there's a lot of young birds in the population. Now, many of these birds, constantly as young birds, have never migrated south before, and maybe they just overshoot, or it's really hard to know. Showing up in some of these areas like Kansas, for example. And we also know through banding and trapping and satellite telemetry that many snowy owls that have been captured or tagged over the years as young birds have actually returned in ensuing years to be caught as older birds or adults. That tells you that a lot of these birds are surviving.
So what do you think about what's happening now? I mean, what are your thoughts on this whole massive migration of these snowy owls down south to the 48 states?
I mean, I just think it's neat. There's just something about the Arctic owl, the white owl, the snowy owl, that people are really, really drawn to. And that's why you see so many people from so many backgrounds coming out. There's just something magical about these birds, something that's dazzling when you look at them.
You've been listening to owl expert Denver Holt. We're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. We're Earth Sky, heard on over 1,200 stations worldwide, including Voice of America. Deborah Bird joins us now to talk about new research that sheds some light on what triggered the Little Ice Age. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, Jorge. The Little Ice Age. One thing we know about it for sure is that it was not a true ice age. We know it was happening around the 1600s because there are old paintings and so on that show people, doing things like ice skating on the Thames in London and that sort of thing. So, rivers froze that had never frozen before. There are anecdotal reports of glaciers moving off of mountaintops and destroying villages in their paths and that sort of thing. All that stuff took place sort of in Northern Europe. We don't know for sure that it was a global event, but it was an event that happened, a cooling event that happened in Earth's history. Certainly it was going on in the 1600s. There are a couple of lines of evidence that give alternate ideas for what caused this event.
Well, right. I mean, it's unusual, just a period of unusual cooling. Tell us more. Like, what does this new research say?
There are scientists at University of Colorado Boulder and at the National Center for Atmospheric Research who went to very high latitudes on Earth, so up to Arctic latitudes, and they looked at dead vegetation buried in the ice, and they looked at ice cores and sediment cores, and they found evidence for four major volcanic eruptions that took place over a period of 50 years around the year 1300. So again, for sure the Little Ice Age was going on in the 1600s. This was earlier than that, 300 years earlier, around the year 1300, that there appear to have been these four major volcanic eruptions that took place at tropical latitudes on Earth. They would have spewed a lot of stuff into the stratosphere. They would have basically caused a cooling event to occur on the Earth. The alternative theory about what might have caused a Little Ice Age has to do with the sun and sunspots, and that's another big part of the conversation going on here in the 21st century about climate.
Well, right. The sun goes through natural periods of activity.
That's right. The sun has an 11-year cycle of sunspots where you'll see a lot of spots on the sun's surface, and then you'll see almost no spots on the sun's surface. And in fact, the next peak of the cycle is coming up in the year 2013, so we're heading for a peak now. But there was a period in the 1600s where there were, for about a 50-year period, there were almost no spots at all seen on the sun. And the very first time I saw this, which was in the 1970s, there was a paper done that suggested that, in fact, this Maunder minimum, as it's called, this minimum of activity on the sun may have, you know, correlated with a time of decreased solar output, so decreased radiation from the sun, less heat, less warmth from the sun, and therefore that might have caused the Little Ice Age. So there's the idea that the sun could have caused it versus this other idea that I was just talking about from this new research that suggests that volcanoes caused the Little Ice Age.
Yeah, one thing scientists aren't quite fully sure of is what causes extended periods of cooling and warming.
That's right. So that's one of the reasons that scientists like these guys at the University of Colorado Boulder who went up to these high northern latitudes and looked at ice cores and sediments and so on. They're trying to find out what caused this so-called Little Ice Age, this period of cooling in the 1600s at least, and maybe earlier, because they want to know what could cause cooling or warming in our century. And in fact, you know, people want scientists to be certain about this. People want scientists to be certain it is going to warm or it's not going to warm. But there's not a lot of certainty in this area of climate. If you were to ask climate scientists today, do you believe that Earth is warming and do you believe that that warming is caused in part by humans? In fact, there have been surveys of this and, you know, 98.5% of climate scientists say they do believe that Earth is warming and they do believe that human activities play a part. But they are still looking at things like the Little Ice Age in hopes of finding out, you know, just how does climate work? You know, they don't know everything.
Right. And it's all tied together. Many pieces go into the climate puzzle.
That's right. And so this new research on the Little Ice Age hopefully will add another piece to the puzzle.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Jorge.
Earth Sky's Deborah Bird. And we're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. And that's our show. Thank you for joining us. This week's show was recorded at the Earth Sky Studios in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Our producer is Michael Brennan. Executive producers are Peter Zandan, Ryan Britton, and Deborah Bird. Special thanks this week to our musical contributors. For more information on the science and the music you heard this week, visit our website at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists, too much art, and not enough genius, I believe. Science is the art of the next age. There are so many artists, too much heart, and not enough reason, I'm afraid. Silence is the song of the next age.